This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
If we're going to have a serious debate on when a fetus becomes a human being, to bring the race element in, like because of someone's race, they should be therefore automatically on one side, I think is divisive.
Scientifically, biologically, that child in the womb at the moment of conception is a human being.
Our troops come from every corner of this country. They're black, white, Latino, Asian, Native American. They are Christian and Hindu, Jewish and Muslim. And yes, we know that some of them are gay.
You must now give yourself to Christ. That's law. And the law cannot produce spiritually good works.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
It has become routine, almost a nightly thing, at least a weekly thing, to watch on television. News footage of violent outbursts of one kind or another coming from Muslim-controlled countries. Egypt, of course, is the latest. Now, the politics there are complicated, and so is the religious situation in Egypt, especially when it comes to 12% of the population, which is Coptic Christian. You may not know that because it's not being widely covered. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, February the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry Mattingly will be our guest for the first few minutes of the program. We're going to talk about media coverage of the riots in Egypt. He comes from GetReligion.org and Scripps Howard News Service. A little bit later after that, some audio open lines. I'd like your reaction to Porn Sunday. Some churches have decided that on Super Bowl Sunday, the big man's Sunday, they're going to emphasize the Bible's teaching about pornography. What's your general reaction? I want to hear it. It's coming up a little bit later here in this hour of Issues Etc. Some audio open lines. We'll have the story for you as well. 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio. Talkback at issuesetc.org. A tweet at issuesetc or visit our Facebook fan page. Leave your reaction to Porn Sunday and the story we have posted there. Facebook.com/issuesetc, Facebook.com/issuesetc. Terry Mattingly is founder and editor of GetReligion.org. He's director of the Washington Journalism Center for the Council of Christian Colleges and Universities, and he's author of the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service. He joins us to talk about media coverage of the riots in Egypt. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
Is what we're watching happening in Egypt anything new for the Coptic Christians who've lived there for millennia?
That's a great way to frame the question. And the answer is yes and no. Or it's even better, no and we don't know. Let me explain what I mean by that. The Copts are absolutely used to living as a minority in this culture, even if they are one of the most symbolic groups in the culture, since they predate the creation of Islam. They predate, you know, Arabic being the nation of the language, etc. And they are a large minority. The estimates run anywhere from 8, 10, 12% of the Egyptian population is Coptic, which means predominantly that means they're Coptic Orthodox. It may also mean they're part of Coptic churches that are loyal to Rome. There are Protestants as well in Egypt, and some of them may be Copts, some of them may be Arabs. It's a complex situation. But the Coptic people are absolutely used to living carefully, in subservience yet proudly men keeping on their own course in the context of Egypt. And that has included frequent rounds of attack and persecution, and at the very least, like I said, submission, you know, to a predominantly Muslim state. Now, whether what's happening at the moment, I mean, the current uprising, which is multi-layered, to say the least, to whether this is new, I think at this point the best answer is that we do not know. I think the hardest thing, the thing the reporters are really wrestling with in their coverage right now, is we are very used to having situations that involve two sides, and we do pretty well with that. The fears that I'm hearing from people here in Washington, including people with experience in the region, is that what we could be looking at here is a three-way conflict in Egypt. One represents this kind of allegedly secular approach taken by Mubarak and his government now for several decades, and the decade before that, you know, similar approach, this kind of cautious, positive relationship to Israel, and which the only one of its kind in the Muslim world. And then, of course, America has poured billions and billions of dollars worth of aid and, frankly, military equipment into Egypt through the years. So that's the Mubarak. That's who everybody's protesting against. Meanwhile, the protests are kind of a coalition that can't be simplified. I mean, you have people that are more like small D Democrats. You have students. You have people that are more interested in human rights and oppose the kind of police state muscle that has backed up Mubarak. That's who really started this, flowing out of the Tunisia situation. Now, have Coptics been a part of that? Frankly, we don't know, but it seems unlikely. Meanwhile, after Friday prayers on Friday morning ended in Egypt last week, you had an increasing Islamic presence and the Muslim Brotherhood of Egypt, which is forbidden to take part under Mubarak in Egyptian politics. They've taken a much higher profile. And most people would refer to the Muslim Brotherhood as Islamist, in that they believe in a Muslim political state, an Islamic republic is probably their goal. In other words, kind of a Sunni version of Iran is what most people have presumed is their goal, even if they have to go through a coalition government to get it. That's three distinctive groups of people, and we don't know where the Coptics are in that situation. But I think there is some telling statistics, which I put up on a post celebrating. We just had our seventh birthday at Get Religion this week, and on the seventh anniversary post, I attached, obviously we were still thinking about Egypt and all the difficulties of talking about what's happening there. Gallup put up an interesting poll which gets to the heart of it. And it broke it down. Now, Sharia is a big, complex term. It's impossible to know exactly what people mean, but at the very least it means Muslim law. So in a poll in Egypt, 64% of Egyptians said that Sharia, Islamic law, must be the only source of legislation in the country. 24% said Sharia must be a source of legislation, but not the only source. The way this tends to function in a place like Pakistan is you can have other sources for legislation, but they can't contradict Sharia. And then two others, 9% of people in Egypt either declined to answer the question, or they said they simply don't know. And in the middle was 3% who opposed Sharia law as a basis of legislation and life in the country. When I first saw those statistics, I thought about it for a second. It's hard not to notice that 9% saying they don't know or declined to answer added to 3% who oppose Sharia gets you 12. And the percentage of Coptic Christians, Coptic ethnic people in Egypt is between 10 and 12%, which seems to imply that a totalitarian state of some kind led by Mubarak may be the only thing that has been preventing an Islamic republic. So does that mean that Coptics back Mubarak, the very person who's been denying their ability to build churches, has refused to have police investigate kidnappings? I mean, Mubarak is hardly a friend of the Coptics. So you see the difficulty your question poses now?
So it might be, we emphasize, that it's better the devil you know when it comes to the Coptic Christians than Mubarak.
Precisely right. The other thing is because of they tend to have, other than a really hardcore set of poverty among Coptics, most urban Coptics, with their heavy emphasis on education, have tended to be better educated, more in the middle class and upper middle class of Egyptian life, and more openly in favor of the West because of an emphasis on human rights and wanting to have some protection for their, as a minority. Does that make sense? So, does that make them part of the protesters, or does that make them fear that if the protesters win and Mubarak goes down, and if you get democracy defined as one man, one vote, what's going to happen in Egypt if 88% of the country wants Sharia law to be either the only form of legislation and law or a form that can't be contradicted?
We're talking with Terry Mattingly, founder and editor of GetReligion.org, director of the Washington Journalism Center for the Council of Christian Colleges and Universities, and author of the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with him for about another 10 minutes, live this Thursday, February the 3rd. Question occurs, if the Coptic Christians in Egypt are part of the coverage at all, how are they being addressed in the media coverage of the riots in Egypt? After all, it is 12% of their population. After we conclude our conversation with Terry Mattingly, we'll turn to you and your reaction to Porn Sunday. There are some churches that on Super Bowl Sunday, which in the past has been a big Sunday for a lot of churches, they bring in the big screen, they play the Super Bowl, it's the draw. They give away cars, they do all sorts of things. Well, someone's trying something a little different. Porn Sunday on Super Bowl Sunday, since the men will all be paying attention, since it's such a Sunday devoted to all things masculine, they want to address the particularly masculine problem of porn in their churches. I want your reaction to it. Leave it there at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesETC. Audio open lines in about 15 minutes.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Do all people share a common morality? Is natural law an errant teaching of the Roman Catholic Church? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is titled Natural Law, A Lutheran Reappraisal. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Natural Law by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Natural Law, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article that I've written titled "The Theology of Jesus." What's the connection between the Church's Confession of Christ and her Confession of the Trinity? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Mason Beecroft writes about the false promises of Pop American Christianity. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Thursday afternoon, the 3rd of February. Talking with Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service and GetReligion.org about media coverage of the ongoing riots in Egypt's capital, mainly Cairo. It's spread outside, and it's become violent not only for the people involved, but for the general citizenry. A little bit later, Audio Open Lines on Porn Sunday this coming Sunday. Not only Super Bowl Sunday, but also Porn Sunday in some churches. You can watch a video from MSNBC at our Facebook fan page right now, facebook.com/issuesETC. And then I'd like your reaction in about 10 minutes. Terry, if the Coptic Christians that are kind of getting lost in the shuffle here are part of the media coverage of the Egyptian situation at all, how are they addressed in that coverage?
Well, the main thing we have right now is a complete absence in the initial coverage. You would read, you know, just page after page after page of coverage of this, and the cops would never be mentioned. You wondered if the U.S. government, the State Department, and their briefings and stuff even knew that the cops existed the way things were going. Now, within the last couple of days, there have been a few stories. I'm about to put one up this afternoon at Get Religion and evaluate it a little bit. The Washington Post finally did a story on the Coptic presence in Egypt and how it could be affected. Ironically, the best story I have seen on kind of the plight of the Copts and the sources of their confusion and their anger in the current situation was published on the website of Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera English did absolutely the best report I've seen on the Copts so far. So at the moment, what we have here is sins of omission rather than commission. For the most part,
you briefly take issue with the treatment of the Coptic Christians as a denomination in one media outlet. What's your problem there?
Well, I mean, folks, is the Catholic Church a denomination? It would never refer to itself, and historians would never refer to Orthodoxy or to the Catholic Church. I mean, who have been in existence since Pentecost, directly institutionally in business since Pentecost. People would not refer to them as a denomination, which tends to be used for the, you know, several hundred thousand branches of Protestantism that exist in our world today. So, no, I just was noted that maybe the people who wrote that Baltimore Sun story that used the word denomination to refer to the Copts didn't know what they were dealing with, literally didn't know who the Copts were. It also, that same story mentioned that someone attended a service and said that the service was, you know, there was lots of incense, surprise. I mean, they're Orthodox. Lots of incense, and that the worship was in English and Arabic. Well, most Coptic services in America do include English, and most include some Arabic. But they also include an entirely separate language called Coptic. I mean these people, the language of the pharaohs, I mean, and the language of Egypt has descended into a language called Coptic. And interestingly, because of their connections to Orthodoxy in the ancient world, their services also include Greek. So I was wondering if, in some ways, the reporter who covered the story didn't even know the Coptic people or Coptic congregations well enough to realize what they were hearing. I mean, that these are people old enough to have their own language, and it is a language that predates Arabic coming to Egypt, just as their church predates Islam multiple centuries.
Is it your contention that the Coptic Christians ought to at least be on the radar of the media coverage here, if only for their significant presence in Egypt, if not for the fact that this is the oldest sect of Christianity known to man?
Well, remember how much coverage we're finally beginning to get of what's happening to religious minorities, especially Christians, in Iraq and another place, and this massive exodus that is beginning to take place to the West out of the Muslim and Arab world. Of course, the Muslim world is much more than Arab nations. I mean, the biggest Muslim country in the world is Indonesia. But you get my point. Out of that region, well, the Copts are the largest Christian minority, period, in the world in a predominantly Muslim society. And they are historically important. They're big. I mean, you could imagine if I saw a note the other day that said Coptic presence in Egypt is roughly attuned to African-American presence in North America. So try to imagine if a story was being written about upheavals in American life and if the enemies or some enemies or potential enemies of the African-American people here in the United States, if you had something happening and yet in story after story you never heard black churches mentioned or you never heard African-American institutions mentioned. It's very similar. And then again, America, as a nation of people that predominantly refer to themselves as Christian, whether they're practicing Christians or not, I think that in terms of news judgment and news value, you would have to consider the American people might be interested in what is happening to the cops. You would also say that the Coptic people, to some degree, are the canary in the coal mine of Egypt, in the sense that if you're going to have a breakdown of law and order, and if you're going to have a breakdown of the rule of law and just basic human rights, and that's a distinct possibility when you have this kind of overthrow of government, et cetera, in a country, for good or ill, you want to know where the hammer is going to fall first in terms of human rights and free speech, freedom of religion, all of which may or may not exist in some cultures in that region. The Coptic people are going to be the first ones affected. So as the internet is back up in Egypt, we should all be looking for reports. And just this morning, National Review has a report up of the first attack on Coptic people in kind of outside the city and out in another part of Egypt. So this is a serious issue.
Would it be fair to say, Terry, that this situation in Egypt, especially with regard to its religious aspects, which are obvious and upfront for everyone to see, is kind of a test case for the media's ability to cover not only the Middle East and its many conflicts, but the complexity of these events wherever they happen?
Yeah. I think you're asking a very good and yet, sadly, a very obvious question. If you don't know the Coptic people exist, you're highly unlikely to cover them, right? Second, if you don't know the details of their language history, I'm not talking about speaking Coptic, but, I mean, if you don't know the details of Coptic history in Egypt, you don't know where they fit into the culture. You don't know why. I mean, just give you a symbolic event. You might remember a couple of weeks ago we had that attack on a Coptic church, the car bomb, as they were preparing for Christmas. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Just slaughter. In the wake of that, Muslims in Egypt who favored a diverse society of any kind and who favored basic human rights did an amazing thing. They came out publicly talking about how crucial the Coptic people are to the Egyptian culture and to the history of their nation. And hundreds of them volunteered to go to Coptic churches during the Coptic Orthodox Christmas rites and serve as human shields, to where if Muslims blew up the church, they would be blowing up Muslims as well as Coptic believers. Well, that got some press. But here's the point. The kinds of Muslims who would do that are probably the kinds of Muslims who started these protests against Mubarak, this kind of pro-West, pro-diversity Muslim. That's not who the Coptic people fear. The kinds of people who would come to church with them and help protect them are not the Egyptian Muslims that the Coptic people are afraid of. In fact, you could make a case that might have even, as a long-term strategy, that might have even be seen as provoking Muslim attacks against other Muslims, because those were the wrong kinds of Muslims who offered to help protect cops. Does that make sense? Just as we've seen Muslim attacks on Muslims in other parts of the world, just as Al-Qaeda does more persecution and more terrorism against Muslims than against other people. So Egypt is a very complex place right now, and there is no one group of Muslims that are believing in one thing or the other. There is no one Muslim stance toward the cops. The question we're asking, though, and what we all need to ask, and the press needs to ask, is what is the majority Muslim Egyptian take on the Coptic people? And do we have fear that majority position could lead to more bloodshed and more persecution?
With only a minute, do you think that the Western press is equipped right now to cover stories like this?
I want to say no, and what really makes me depressed is what I'm now wondering is whether our own State Department is in the position to be able to brief them on it.
Terry Mattingly is founder and editor of GetReligion.org. director of the Washington Journalism Center for the Council of Christian Colleges and Universities, and author of the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service. Terry, thank you very much.
Glad to be here.
When we come back, we're going to spend the last half hour of today's program with you. A question for you. What's your reaction? These churches always trying to make the most of Super Bowl Sunday. It's a big Sunday for men, maybe to compensate for the fact that they're going to spend the evening hours planted in front of the television with their buddies watching the Super Bowl. They might succumb to their wives' pleas to go to church on Sunday morning, a rare opportunity for a lot of these churches that are populated, well, about 60-40 women as opposed to men on any given Sunday. So what do you do when you have all those guys coming in the door? Well, a couple churches have decided to do Porn Sunday. That's what they're calling it, Porn Sunday. Don't jump to any conclusions. These Christian churches are still against pornography, but they want to use the opportunity of Super Bowl Sunday, all the notoriety and all the masculinity that swirls around it, to address what they think is a big problem among men, pornography. We'll hear the story from MSNBC on the other side of the break. Then I want to hear from you. It's Audio Open Lines, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Audio Open Lines next.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Sanctity of life upheld in the armed forces.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Pro-lifers scored a major victory recently when Congress passed the Department of Defense funding bill while maintaining the bill's pro-life provisions, namely a prohibition on abortion on military bases. Even though such a ban has existed since 1996, Democrats tried twice to push the bill through without the prohibition but failed, which means the pro-life protections will stay in place at least until 2013. In addition to sanctity of life issues, proponents of the ban argued that allowing abortions on military bases would undermine morale and also discourage young doctors from serving in the military.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.